We got Morgan settled into a bunk on the water beetle and prepared to leave. Molly, troubled and worried about me, had volunteered to stay with Morgan. Listens to Wind had offered to show her something of what he did with healing magic. I grabbed some painkillers while we were there and felt like I could at least walk far enough to find Will and Georgia. Demon Reach showed me where they were sleeping, and I led Ebenezer through the woods toward them. "How did Engine Joe know about me claiming this place as a sanctum?" I asked. "Messenger arrived from Rashid," Ebenezer said. "He's more familiar with what you can do with that kind of bond. So he went up to find you and get you to take those trees out from under the bugs." I shook my head. "I've never seen anyone do shape-shifting the way he did it." "Not many ever have," Ebenezer said, with obvious pride in his old friend's skills in his voice. After a moment, he said, "He's offered to teach you some, if you want to learn." "With my luck, I'd shift into a duck or something and not be able to come back out of it." He snorted quietly and then said, "Not shifting. He knows more than any man alive about dealing with rage over injustice and being unfairly wronged. Now don't get me wrong. I think it's admirable that you have those kinds of feelings and choose to do something about them. But they can do terrible things to a man, too." His face was distant for a moment, his eyes focused elsewhere. "Terrible things. He's been there. I think if you spent some time with him, you'd benefit by it." "Aren't I a little old to be an apprentice?" "Stop learning, start dying," Ebenezer said, in the tone of a man quoting a bedrock firm maxim. "You're never too old to learn." "I got responsibilities," I said. "I know. I'll think about it." He nodded. Then he paused for a moment, considering his next words. "There's one thing about tonight that I can't figure, Hoss," my old mentor said. "You went to all the trouble to get everyone here, to lure the killer here. I give you a perfect excuse to roam free behind the lines with no one looking over your shoulder so you can get the job done. But instead of slipping up through the weeds and taking down the killer, which would clear up this whole business, you go up to the hill and throw down with something you know damn well you can't beat." "Yeah," I said, "I know." Ebenezer spread his hands. "Why?" I walked for several tired, heavy steps before answering. "Thomas got into trouble helping me." "Thomas," Ebenezer said, "the vampire." I shrugged. "He was more important to you than stopping the possible fragmentation of the White Council?" "The creature was heading straight for the cottage. My apprentice and my client were both there, and he had Thomas, too." Ebenezer muttered something to himself. "The girl had that crystal to protect herself with. Hell, son, if it went off as violently as you said it would, it might have killed the creature all by itself." He shook his head. "Normally, I think you've got a pretty solid head on your shoulders, Hoss, but that was a bad call." "Maybe," I said quietly. "No maybe about it," he replied firmly. "He's a friend." Ebenezer stopped in his tracks and faced me squarely. "He's not your friend, Harry. You might be his, but he isn't yours. He's a vampire. When all's said and done, he'd eat you if he is hungry enough. It's what he is." Ebenezer gestured at the woods around us. "Hell's bells, boy. We found what was left of that wraith creature's cousin after the battle, and I figure you saw what it did to its own blood." "Yeah," I said, subdued. "And that was her own family," he shook his head. "Friendship means nothing to those creatures. They're so good at the lie that sometimes maybe they even believe it themselves. But in the end, you don't make friends with food. I've been around this world a while, Hoss, and let me tell you, it's their nature. Sooner or later, it wins out." "Thomas is different," I said. He eyed me. "Oh?" He shook his head and started walking again. "Why don't you ask your apprentice exactly what made her drop the veil and use that shield then?" I started walking again. I didn't answer.